Chapter 18. When I walked back into the chocolate heart after 3 days, bright sunlight shone through the glass windows, lighting up the red and gold of the painted walls until they glowed like the heart of a flame. It felt so warm and welcoming, it took me a moment to realise that every single table in the front room was empty. Horst slammed through the swinging doors from the kitchen, his eyes wide and his smile full of teeth until he saw us. Oh, his shoulders slumped. It's only you. Marina rolled her eyes. I did bring our apprentice back, in case you hadn't noticed. What? Oh, sorry. He gave me an apologetic half-curve of his lips. Good to see you, Aventurine. I'm glad we didn't chase you away after all. Did Marina tell you that I liked your tarts? They were nice words to hear, but as his gaze swept over the empty tables, I sure saw his shoulders sag even further. I felt my own mood sag along with them, so nobody's coming in at all anymore. Marina's jaw tightened. If they all want to be frightened away by lies and gossip, I say let them. There's no reason we need to stay in Drakenberg forever. I don't mind starting over somewhere new after the rent runs out. Horst didn't even bother to look at her as he spoke, sounding as weary and well-practiced as if they'd been repeating this exact debate for the past 3 days. That would be all well and good if we had the money to start over, but since you know perfectly well that we don't. Anyway, you can't move, said Silky briskly. Just think of me. This is my city. I can't leave it. And what other chocolate house in Drakenberg would ever let me hang about and drink hot chocolates in the kitchen whenever I feel a need? Marina snorted. Oh, on that note, she strode towards the kitchen. Come along, Aventurine. I want you to try making hot chocolate again, but under my supervision this time. I hurried after her, Silky by my side, but I couldn't help taking one last look before the swinging doors closed behind us, as Horst bowed shoulders as he surveyed the empty room. I admired Marina more than anyone else in the whole wide world, but I couldn't help but wonder whether Horst might have a better understanding of money. I'd grown up sleeping every night upon gold and precious jewellery. I would have given anything to have even a fraction of my old bedding with me now, for the chocolate house's sake. But that, with a sudden jolt, made me remember my new bedding. I raced to the cupboard where I'd left my scale cloth and let out a gusting sigh of relief as I pulled it out. There. The cloth rippled over my hands in a flood of silver and crimson, my beautiful scales overlapping and interlacing with each other in perfect harmony. The sight of them pierced my chest. I had to clench my hands around the cloth to stop myself from pressing it against my face in front of the others or letting out any tears of sheer relief. They noticed anyway, of course. It was useless to try to hide what I was feeling from either of those two. Don't worry, said Marina, without looking up from her hand cleaning. I didn't disturb it while you were gone. Nice to have one piece of bright colour left in here, even now that you've started dressing like a tree. Just like anybody else in this city. She snorted as she gave a sidelong glance at Silky's own dark green outfit. I beg your pardon, said Silky. This is my spying outfit. I needed to blend in so that I could sneak adventuring out. She wandered over and ran one long brown finger over my scale cloth. It was a sign of how much I'd come to trust her. But I didn't even snarl as she did it. I remember you wearing this when we first met, funny thing. Her eyebrows lowered as she studied it. I didn't pay too much attention to the pattern back then, but these almost look like... No more chattering, Marina barked, crossing her arms. Aventurine, I hope you're ready to work. And as for you, she glowered at Silky, if you expect to be allowed to drink what we make, then you'd better get busy yourself. If you don't have any more fancy handbills to write, then you can start dealing with all those dirty dishes. She nodded to the sink, which was full of crockery, pots and kettles. Apparently, the lack of customers hadn't stopped Marina from cooking up a storm. Will do, Silky said cheerfully, taking off her jacket, but I warn you, I'll expect something seriously special as a reward. You're in my kitchen, aren't you? Good enough, Silky started to whistle as she pumped up water for the sink. I closed my eyes, breathed in the scent of roasting cocoa beans and knew without a doubt that I was home. The sensation of sweet relief only lasted for a minute, though. Marina started rearranging the counter, setting it up for hot chocolate while I tucked my scale cloth back into the cupboard and cleaned my own hands. I was smiling as I began, but the sound of dishes clattering loudly against the countertop made the smile drop from my face, and the muscles in my back turn rock hard. I knew exactly what that noise meant when it came from Marina, who was more than capable of working near silence. For all her confident statements to Horst and to me, Marina wasn't nearly as calm as she was pretending. Before any sly tendrils of guilt could start creeping in on me once again, I quashed them hard. This wasn't my fault, no matter what I'd spent the last 3 days thinking, and real dragons didn't give up on their hordes, even when protecting them seemed impossible. We'd come so close to salvation with Silky's first attempt. If only the king and his daughters had actually had a chance to drink the hot chocolate themselves. If only the timing had just been a fraction better. All right, girl, Marina said, interrupting my thoughts. I want you to stand right here and make me a hot chocolate exactly the way you did it last time. No changes. I'm not going to say a word until you're done this time. I'm just going to watch. Then we'll try again and then you'll need to learn about adapting your technique for different flavours and tastes. I'll be happy to drink that first batch for you, Silky called over. The clanging sound of the pump and the gurgle of water rushing up into the sink. I'm telling you, Aventurine, by the time I finished my first cup of your last hot chocolate, I was committed to saving this place no matter what. Marina rolled her eyes. And now that the expert on chocolate has spoken. I mean it, Silky shrugged. Before I drank it, I was more than ready to move on as soon as I'd got my payment. I would have helped to venture and find a new place to work, of course, but that was as far as it ever would have gone. By the time I'd finished that first cup of chocolate, though, she flashed us a grin over her shoulder. I see, Marina said. So now we're stuck with you. She tucked away a smile, almost before I could catch it, and reached out to point me towards the chocolate charcoal brazier. Better get started, that one. She tilted her head towards Silky, has already eaten me out of hearth and home these last few days, when she wasn't bombarding me with a dozen mad marketing ideas every half hour. It's time for you to supply her tummy too, if you can remember how to do it. For that part, at least, wasn't a problem. I might have been gone for 3 days, but every inch of the kitchen of the chocolate art was home. Working in it felt just as natural as stretching my wings once had. As I started gathering my ingredients, though, something twitched in my memory like a half-glimpsed moving shadow in the distance, just close enough to signal possible danger. Something that Silky had said, and what Horse had said to Marina about the tarts. Come on, Marina said, as my fingers stilled over above the mountain of crushed sugar. Don't freeze up on me now, girl. If you can make hot chocolate for the king himself without any real training, you can make it for me too. Just put yourself back into that moment when you thought about it all the first time. I frowned. I hadn't thought about it the first time, actually. I used what I learnt from memorising Marina's every action, and then I'd flown the rest of the way on sheer instinct. No, desperation. I'd been so desperate to convince the royal family this chocolate house could be saved. I would have done anything to convince them with my chocolate, just like... Something shivered in the back of my... Something like a piece of knowledge that I did not want to have. Or a memory I didn't want to remember. Someone else shivering with fear as he made my hot chocolate, murmuring over it as I watched, weaving his own desperation into my bones until I lost all control, lost everything that mattered even. No. I forced down the remembered panic, steeling my spine into rigidity with the reminder there were no food majors with me in this kitchen. I'd never have to deal with one again. They were so rare that just the hint of one had been enough to fill out a front room with customers. Even the king himself had never met one. I never wanted to meet another one in my life. Easy, Marina murmured. Don't think so much. Just decide what you want to do and do it. Do it. My hands started moving. I had to erase that memory of helplessness and fear. I had to make something new to replace it before it could rise up and break my spirit again. The way I'd felt broken and hollow over the past few days. I had to fill myself with the unshakable certainty of something true, something undeniable, something powerful. Me. So I yanked my heart and my mind wide open at last, and I let all the other memories sweep in upon me in a blaze of fire. All those memories that I'd been trying so hard to hold back for the past 2 weeks. Memories of scales and claws and the effortless certainty of power. Essential parts of myself that had hurt so much to lose. I'd locked them away where they could only haunt my dreams. They were memories of the dragon I'd been before. No, the dragon I still was underneath it all. I'm the fiercest thing in this city. I am. Greta had been wrong about me after all, so wrong. But I'd been wrong to let myself believe her too. Wrong to lower my head and let myself be chained by soft, cruel, laughing words and a poisonous pity that had tasted more bitter than any ingredient in Marina's kitchen ever could. I wasn't that helpless creature that Greta had made of me over the last 2 days, but she had managed it only because secretly in my heart I'd feared that might be who I had become. Ever since my first moment of transformation, I'd looked at my puny human body and felt despair. I'd believed in my secret heart that I was every bit as much as a failure as my own family had expected to be. No more. I was an apprentice chocolatier at the best chocolate house in Drakenberg. I was a dragon, and I was a human girl at one and the same time. I was better than I'd ever been before. I was me. I stirred in the last of the ingredients and let all of that certainty flood into my firm, steady strokes. I can be whatever I want to be, forever. And with that certainty came peace. When the kettle was ready, I took my time with the wooden molinet. Frothing the chocolate into creamy perfection, I poured it into a porcelain cup under Marina's watchful eye. Then I started to hand it to Silky, who'd finished washing dishes and was waiting. But to my surprise, she shook her head and stepped back. I'll have the second cup, she said. You never managed to drink any of your own chocolate last time. It's only fair to let you drink first this time round. I looked at Marina. She nodded, her lips quirking. How else do you plan to improve, she asked me. You've got to taste all of your own attempts, you know, to find out exactly what you can do. I can do this. And maybe if I'd done it well enough, it would give me the courage to do something else too. Finally, tell my new family the whole truth of who I was. Beneath my skin, I picked up the porcelain cup in my hands and felt its heat flood up my arms and through my small, but not puny, human body. Half closing my eyes, I lifted the cup towards my mouth. The bell over the front door of the shop jingled loudly before I could take a single sip. My eyes flew open as I lowered the cup. Customers? I could tell from Marina's suddenly frozen expression that she was thinking the same thing. Silky started for the peephole. Before she could even touch the plate that covered it, the kitchen doors flew open. A tall, skinny boy with dark brown skin, glasses and wide, panicked eyes stood panting in the doorway. Horse hurried up behind him, mouth open as if to demand answers, but the boy spoke first. Silky! He grabbed the doorway as if to hold himself up. I can't believe I finally found you. I've been hunting everywhere. Aha! I recognise him now. It's Silky's brother. Silky frowned back in. Oh, honestly, Dieter, what's the matter now? I told you I wouldn't be back to help at the stall until... He gave an impatient swipe of his free hand. That doesn't matter, he said. Not any more. I need to tell you, warn all of you. His eyes, full of dread behind his narrow spectacles, turned to Marina and me as well, as if the panic inside him was too large to hold alone. You can see them yourself by now if you step outside. Dieter pointed one shaking finger back towards the big glass windows of the front room. The rumours started coming in half an hour ago that they'd been spotted. I didn't believe it at first, no one really did. But they're moving so fast there's no mistaking them and no escaping. He swallowed visibly. No one's going to get away this time. From what? Horst grabbed Dieter's shoulder and shook him. What are you talking about, boy? But somehow I already knew. Dragons, Dieter whispered. A whole pack of them from the mountains. They're flying straight towards Drakenberg.